It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning, Mary.
It's spring, and the wild leeks and ramps and other wild edibles are growing, but we have to be careful. Can you share with us, Charlie, the importance of proper wild edible identification?
Yeah, a lot of people love to go foraging for wild edibles this time of year because there's some great ones out there. But before you do, you really have to think about what you're doing and how you're doing it. So the first thing, of course, is to make sure you can identify that wild edible as the one you want to eat. Some of them are obvious. Dandelion greens, I think most people know. But there's others like the ramps or wild leeks that have other lookalikes, you might say, that can be toxic. So if you're not sure, go with someone who is sure. Also, if you're going to be foraging off of your own land, make sure you have permission to do it if you're going on someone else's land. And when you're doing the harvesting itself, make sure you harvest sustainably. You don't want to wipe out a whole patch of wild leeks, for example. You shouldn't take more than a quarter or 20% of those leeks at any one time, because a lot of these plants are very slow growing, so you want to have them there for many, many generations. And then finally, if you've never eaten some of these wild edibles before, eat a little bit first just to make sure your body doesn't have any reaction to it. With all those caveats being said, here's some of my favorites this time of year. First one is one that's actually going by a little bit now. It's called wintergreen. It is a bitter green that looks a little like an Asian green. It has spoon-shaped leaves to it, dark green, and it has a bitter flavor. Now, not a lot of people are going to like that because bitter is not a flavor that's really a common thing in our culture. But I spent a number of years in Asia, and the Asians love a lot of these bitter greens, and I love to mix them in salads and in soups and just have them as a tonic almost. They're really delicious, and you know, they're only out for a little while in the spring before they go to flower and then they go by. Speaking of dandelions, of course, that's a great one, the chaguadias. You know, I grew up with the dandelions down in Connecticut with my Italian relatives, always harvesting those and cooking them up. Getting them young is a good idea before they start flowering, because that's when they build up that bitterness. Finding ones that are maybe in a part shade or a kind of underneath a shrub or something like that's protecting them a little bit, they'll be a little more tender, a little more tasty. And then finally, of course, the wild leeks or the ramps. And those, of course, you want to sustainably harvest. And that's a good example of one that has a lookalike called the false hellebore. So you want to make sure you get the wild ramp and not something else. They're delicious, sauteed with butter and salt and pepper.
Question time. This one from Anita in Wardsboro. Anita asks, around this time of year, I find myself trying to second guess the instructions on my plant seeds. Do I plant them directly into the ground when all danger of frost is past, which is when? And then there's the taking of the houseplants inside. Memorial Day, Bastille Day, Independence Day. And then when is it too late to drop in that second batch of seeds for late peas and radishes? How late is too late?
Anita, you got a lot of questions around planting, which is good. I mean, because sometimes it gets very confusing. So as far as the last frost date, so in your area down in Wardsboro, it's probably somewhere between Mother's Day and Memorial Day. That would be my guess. You can ask local master gardeners or other gardeners in the area. They may know. So that would be your mark, your deadline, you might say. Anything that's a cool season plant, like peas, for example, can go in at least a couple weeks before that. So you can be planting them now, for example. Or any of the brassicas, the broccolis, the kale, the cabbages, the cauliflower, root crops like carrots and beets, all those can go in a week or two before that last frost date. After that last frost date, more towards Memorial Day or even into June, that's when you plant all the warm season crops, the tomatoes, the peppers, the cucumbers, the squashes, all of those types of things. If you're planting for the fall, then for peas, for example, you're probably going to be wanting planting those end of July, early August, depending upon the variety and how long it takes for them to mature. That'll give them enough time to grow in the warm temperatures of August, but then they'll start maturing in September. So playing around with it based on your area is probably the best thing to do, but also there's a lot of great online resources that can help you as well.
This next one is actually a phone call from Rose in Lindenville. Let's listen to a bit of this.
We recently had to take our beloved dog to the emergency room because he ingested some of the compost that we had just from our small home garden. The mold toxicity in compost is so dangerous to both dogs and cats.
Well, thanks very much, Rose. Yes, that is a very legitimate concern. You might want to cover over that compost or protect it or keep the dog away from the compost area just so they stay safe.
Okay, if you have a question or a comment for All Things Gardening and Charlie Nardozzi, you can send it to us. Just go to vpr.org. Thanks as always, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary. And next week, it's going to be Mother's Day. So why don't you send us some of your favorite Mother's Day flowers? And I'll be seeing you in the garden.